What an absolutely, absolutely crazy turn of events. We went from like the depths of potentially going back into a bear market. We were below the bull market support bands, broken below the range, close to $80,000 in Bitcoin. And then we got this crazy, crazy, crazy interaction on Truth Social, where effectively Trump spoke about the strategic reserve and actually spoke about putting altcoins into the strategic reserve. And now the big question is, we've got this massive, massive, massive pump that's happening on altcoin and Bitcoin. You look at the altcoins, everything's green. You look at Bitcoin, we closed above the bull market support band on the weekly. We had the biggest candle that we've had in a long time. And the big question that people are asking is, well, should we trust this pump? Should we actually be buying into this pump? And my friends, the answer is very simple. It all comes down to what's going to happen at this crypto White House summit that's happening on, I think it starts on Friday, right? Friday, the 7th of March. It's the first summit that there is at the White House around crypto. And there are massive expectations around what could come out of the summit. Today, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at the summit. We're going to be looking at who's attending. We're going to be looking at what they're going to be speaking about. We're going to be looking at the agenda. We're going to be looking at all the points that are going to come out of it. And that will give us the clues as to whether this is a pump to be buying or whether this is a pump to be selling. And that's, I think, what the big question on everyone's mind is. So if that sounds good to you, this is going to be a massive show. If that sounds good to you, what I need you guys to do is immediately and urgently. Well, there we go. That's the kind of spirit that I like here on a Monday. Let's get the show on the road. Let's get going, guys. You know, I do want to say that if you're buying now, you're the retail investor, because the real players bought last week when we were waving the flag and we were going, guys, the fear and greed is under 10. When the fear and greed is under 10, you buy the fear and greed, because that's when the market usually turns. The real players were actually doing that. And the guys, the retail investors, are now asking a question like, oh, should I be buying this pump now? No, you don't buy this pump now. You buy pumps when the fear and greed goes below 10. And last week we were literally begging you, and I said to you, the last video that I made last week before I got sick, I said, guys, I'm buying here. Where's the video here? Hold on, let's go to Run's videos. I said, why I'm buying, and I literally spelt out for you that when the fear and greed goes below 10 in what is potentially a bull market or still a bull market, you land up buying the fear and greed, because there's always, always, always a crypto bounce. I really hope some of you actually did that. For those of you that didn't, well, watch today's show, because it'll give you some more clues. For those that did, I'm very happy. I'm very happy we could claw back some of our losses. But I think the question now remains, is this pump real? Should it last? Should you be buying it? Or is it going to die? And I think, as I mentioned, I think what the answer lies in what's going to happen at this crypto summit. So that's what we're going to be spending time discussing. So what I need you guys to do, as you can see, I'm back. I'm not exactly 100% well. It's crazy. I got this it's like COVID, but you don't get the bone aches and you don't get the fevers, but you do get the brain fog. It's like absolutely crazy. I've been driving around on streets that I normally drive on, and I just can't remember what street I'm on. It's like absolutely crazy, this thing. So I'm doing my best to bring you guys a show today, just because there's so much going on. If you appreciate that, obliterate the like button. Hopefully I'll get better and better, and tomorrow I'll be back to my 100% normal self. Otherwise, yeah, I'm gonna give it my best shot today, but I need your likes. I need your support to actually keep going. Let's review the crazy, 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 crazy events of the last 24 to 48 hours. I can't say I've never seen anything like it, because we are in crypto, but we really, really, really need to look at where we came from. We came from like the depths of potentially breaking down into bear market territory. I just want to show you, Solana was what we were literally at $125 on Solana because of the fear of the unlocks and everything else. And then, I mean, it was bad. It was, if you look at the results for February was the worst month that Bitcoin has had since June 2022. I think June 2022 was just after the lunar collapse. When you look at ETH, the month of February, ETH was down 31.95%. It was literally the worst month that ETH has ever had since basically ETH was launched. You're talking about a brutal, brutal, brutal couple of months, and questions as to whether we're about to go back into the depths of a bear market. And then with this one interaction on Truth Social, everything changed. Solana bounces, the altcoins go completely green. Bitcoin closes above the bull market support band. You can see, I mean, just look at this candle. This candle took us from 78,100 all the way to, where is it? Hold on. It can't be an $18,000 candle. Let's just quickly look at that weekly candle again. So you had this candle over here, which started over here and closed over here. You're talking about a $18,000 move on Bitcoin in 1 week, a 23.46% move on Bitcoin in 1 week, which is, it's an absolutely, absolutely, absolutely crazy reversal. In the process, we closed all the CME gaps. So remember, we had that big CME gap at around, I think it was around 70, where was that? That first CME gap was somewhere here. It was between 76,000 and 80,000. But then we created another CME gap, which is between 84,000 and 92,175. So we closed the CME gap, but we also created a CME gap, which is currently sitting just below where, like now we're at 93,000. So it's sitting just below where we are at this 93,000 level. So that is pretty much what happened in the last 24 hours. I mean, absolutely, absolutely crazy turn of events. And I think that the truth is, we'll discover whether this will continue when we talk about this White House crypto summit, which we're going to be speaking about at the end of the show. In the meantime, I think what's going on is absolutely crazy, because 4 days before this summit, we get this interaction from the president. And what the interaction said was posted on Truth Social. For those of you who couldn't find it on Twitter, it says, a U.S. crypto reserve will elevate this critical industry after years of corrupt attacks by the Biden administration, which is why my executive order on digital assets directed the presidential working group to move forward on a crypto strategic reserve that includes XRP, Solana, and Cardano. I will make sure the U.S. is the crypto capital of the world. We are making America great again. So in the first post, Donald Trump actually even neglected to mention Bitcoin and ETH as part of the crypto reserve. And then he obviously followed up almost an hour later. He said, and obviously Bitcoin and ETH as other valuable cryptocurrencies will be at the heart of the reserve. I also love Bitcoin and Ethereum. And that's why what you got here was you got the Sol ETH pump. So you can see Sol pumped way before ETH pumped. Then you got obviously XRP pump, and then you got the Cardano pump. And then only after that did you get the ETH pump, and you got the BTC pump happening here. And then what happened was we had like another pump, which a lot of our traders actually traded, which was this trade on Polymarkets, because before the Polymarket announcements, the US National Bitcoin Reserve probabilities were at 42. And if you were a smart trader and you saw that announcement came out, you bought that, and then you could now sell it at like 65% or whatever else. And this is another way that you can actually make quite big money in crypto. And I'll show you that in a couple of seconds. Someone says he didn't mention Pulse Chain, and Trump didn't mention Pulse Chain. But I think one win that we cannot ignore, and I'm going to say it like, I'm going to put the camera big here because I know the Pulse Chain people are going to clip this and whatever else. But we cannot ignore what happened over the weekend where the SEC effectively dropped their case against Richard Hart. It just shows that Richard Hart effectively now beat the SEC. There's no real case against him. And actually in the studio today, we were kind of saying, look, we should actually get Richard Hart back on the show here because we've always been friends of his. And I think it's a good idea to actually get him back on the show to actually do a feature. I'll actually reach out to him after the show today. Anyway, let's talk about what actually happened here, because it's a crazy turn of events and it doesn't actually make sense. What happened doesn't actually make sense. And look, I'll take it. I'll be honest. I'll take it. I mean, why? Because I'll take a altcoin pump like just as well as just as quickly as anyone else will take an altcoin pump. I'm very happy for the altcoin pump. But I do need to look under the hood as to what is potentially going on here, right? Because you don't want to just be buying this blindly. If you buy this blindly, you risk the chance that you could actually get taken out. I do believe, again, like I said to you, that this just shows that the best indicator to be trading on right now is the fear and greed indicator. If you look, the markets were at peak fear. That's when I made this video, and I was screaming from the top of my lungs, and I was like, guys, we need to be buying. You really, really, really need to be buying into the fear and greed, and that actually paid off. And that's what usually happens in bull markets when the fear and greed index actually goes to below 10. So let's talk about the actual strategic reserve, and let's get down to nuts and bolts of the whole thing. I'll say this. Peter Schiff and I don't really agree a lot. But in this case, I actually really agree with Peter Schiff. Because I really get the rationale for a Bitcoin strategic reserve. Okay, so why do I get the rationale for a Bitcoin strategic reserve? Because I think that Bitcoin is digital gold. It's gold 2.0. And whether you believe it or you don't believe it, the market is telling you that there is a greater than zero chance that Bitcoin is going to be a replacement for gold, right? I think everyone's kind of come to that realization. Even the biggest naysayers around Bitcoin have come to the realization that, listen, guys, you know, like it or not, I mean, Peter Schiff is probably the worst Bitcoin, anti-Bitcoin guy. He says, I get the rationale for Bitcoin reserve. I don't agree with it, but I do have it. We have a gold reserve. Bitcoin is digital gold, which is better than analog gold. So let's create a Bitcoin digital reserve too, right? But then I can't get behind what would be behind a Cardano, XRP, and even Solana. I'm like a big Solana bull. But I don't get why we need us, or the US needs a Solana strategic reserve. When it comes down to a Bitcoin strategic reserve, look, I get it. Because if Bitcoin is the new gold, and countries do store gold reserves, because that may or may not back future currency, or there's many other use cases for it, to protect trade, to protect the country against inflation, to have hard assets on the country's balance sheet, I get that. And if the US is, as you can see, the US is currently the biggest, has the biggest gold strategic reserves in the world. If Bitcoin is going to be a digital gold, then I think the US strategically cannot take the risk to be left behind when it comes to holding Bitcoin on their balance sheet. I think it's just, if you say one is gold 1.0 and the other one is gold 2.0, and we're currently the leaders in gold 1.0, then the US should kind of say, look, we should protect our position as having the biggest gold reserves. Like we have in gold 1.0, we should have the biggest reserves in gold 2.0. So I can fully get behind that. I just don't see a reason why there need to be any altcoins in a strategic reserve. I just fundamentally, when they create a strategic reserve, you got to justify why there's going to be a strategic reserve. And I don't see any strategic reason for any altcoin to be held in the portfolio. I mean, as I say, like I tweeted about Cardano and XRP because I have more of a bone to pick with these guys. In fact, I want to show you something. Should I show this? I mean, do you think it's fine? Is it fair that I show it on the stream? Yeah, I think we can show it on the stream, right? Yeah, let me open up for the people here, right? We have a new guy in the team, who his job is to book some guests to come onto Crypto Banter, but he's new in the team, so he doesn't really know like the dynamics of the whole market, right? And so, what happened was, he reached out to Charles Hoskinson. Now everyone knows that like I've been bashing Cardano. He reached out to Charles. He said, go to hell. You guys have been brutally attacking ADA for years now, even after the announcements of a strategic reserve. Ran attacked us in two tweets. Guys, I'm not attacking Charles. I'm not attacking Cardano. I'm attacking the fact that any altcoin should be in the strategic reserve, right? Because I don't really see how you justify to the US taxpaying public. I don't see how you justify to the US taxpaying public. I don't see how you justify having strategic reserves, using taxpayer money to buy altcoins to put into a strategic reserve, right? And specifically, if you want to talk about the two altcoins that I'm really against, it would be Cardano and XRP. And the reason why I think it's Cardano and XRP is a problem, right, is because I love this tweet from BitMEX. Their social media guy must be really, really, really on the ball, because what he says, Brad Garlinghouse says, I've said this before, the crypto industry will achieve our goals and beyond if we work together. Appreciate the president's, real Donald Trump's vision of global digital asset reserve. And he gives us this whole tweet. And then the intern from BitMEX says, the potential Ripple purchase from the US taxpayer will be the first time that Brad Garlinghouse has ever acquired Ripple. And the reason why is because he's a US taxpayer. But otherwise, Brad Garlinghouse has never, ever, ever bought Ripple. He's just a seller, and they just keep dumping and dumping and dumping their tokens onto the market, right? I mean, just read this from Zach XBT. He says, with the announcement of the US crypto strategic reserve, here's your reminder that the XRP addresses activated by Chris Larson, the co-founder, still hold 2.7 billion plus XRP And these addresses Tide Team transferred $109 million worth of XRP to exchanges in January 25 alone. Okay, now, this is just like, these guys are centralized entities selling tokens into the market, and they want the US taxpayer to be funding this so that they could hold it into a reserve. It's just a ludicrous, ludicrous, ludicrous thought to me. I mean, Miles actually reaffirmed it with a tweet saying XRP whales are actually unloading at like crazy, crazy, crazy levels, right? So, I mean, it's as absurd as this tweet from Kevin from Galois. He says, new US precious metal reserve to include gold, bronze, tin, arsenic, and even wood. Even wood. You can't do that. I think I take the view on a very serious note that if we want to take the Bitcoin strategic, US Bitcoin strategic reserve seriously, then we've got to be serious about it. And I take the view that Naval takes and that Brian Armstrong take in this regard. As much as I say, look, don't get me wrong, I love this. Thank you, Donald Trump, for pumping our bags. And I'll talk to you about what I actually think happened there. Thank you, everybody, for pumping our bags. I love the altcoin pump. Thank you. You saved my Solana long position, which wasn't doing very, very well, as you know. But I've also got to call a spade, right? Like, let's just call a spade. David Sachs, who's the crypto czar, is a very smart man. He's a very, very, very smart businessman. How does he justify adding XRP and Cardano and Solana, even Solana, into a Bitcoin strategic reserve? It would be very hard. And so I take this view over here and I say, look, as Brian says, he says, excited to learn more, still forming an opinion on asset allocation. But my current thinking is just Bitcoin would be the best option, simplest and clear successor to the gold story. If folks wanted variety, we could do a digital market cap weighted index to keep it unbiased. But option one is the easiest. I think that's his way of saying, look, I don't really want to go against what the president said, because that would be really bad going into the summit this week. But I can't go against the president. Naval said something very much, and he said, the US taxpayer should not be exit liquidity for cryptocurrencies that are decentralized in name only. And I think we all know exactly what that means. Like, I don't think there's any cryptocurrency that is anywhere as close to as decentralized as Bitcoin. Maybe ETH is getting there, but even Solana, which is like my darling of the cycle, I can admit that it's not the same as Bitcoin. It really isn't the same as Bitcoin. And I don't believe that it should be part of a country strategic reserve. Let me know what you guys think in the comments. Let me know. And again, let's keep our biases aside. Like, thank you, Donald Trump, for giving us this pump. Thank you for pumping our altcoin bags. Thank you for saving our really bad trades. Okay. But do we really believe that Bitcoin should be in the strategic reserve? Josh, can you run a poll? Like, is it possible for you to run a poll here? All right. So let's run a poll and see what people actually think about what I'm saying. But remember, answer this truthfully. Don't answer this because you want your altcoin bags to pump, right? Yeah, Bad Fox, we are all grateful. Don't get me wrong. But let's also get down to the nuts and bolts of the business of this actual strategic reserve. Okay, so let's just quickly get into what's actually happening here, right? I think a lot more is going to come out at the summit, which is happening on Friday. Don't get me wrong. I think this summit will be very, very, very telling. But I also think that there's something bigger going on here. And let me tell you exactly what I think it is. So I think Eric Trump, which is one of the Trumps, he's the guy that has been assigned the responsibility of being the Trump crypto man, right? Barron's too young. Barron's got like school and stuff like that. He can't be full-time on crypto. So they've now delegated this thing to Eric Trump, okay? Now, I think Eric Trump goes to his dad, whispers in his ear and says, listen, you know, just dad, just tweet this thing, please. Like, I've made a lot of crypto investments, World Liberty, et cetera, tokens are down, not looking good. We're hitting bull market support bands. I'm going to get liquidated in a couple of trades if you don't do this. And so he tweets. Then he realizes, shit, you tweeted, but you forgot to put Bitcoin and ETH. And we've been buying Bitcoin and ETH in World Liberty for a long time. You quickly fix the tweet. And then we got the tweet around Bitcoin and ETH, right? And you can see that, like, the Eric Trump is the crypto guy. And I think he's the one actually driving all this crypto what do you want to call it? This whole crypto agenda at the moment, right? The other thing that could actually be happening is that Trump is being the ultimate negotiator. What do I mean by the ultimate negotiator? Trump knows that he needs to get a Bitcoin strategic reserve through the Senate and through Congress and through the House and through everything else. Now, we know Trump's negotiating style. How does Trump's negotiating style work? Number one, he goes for the extreme. I'm going to take over Gaza. I'm going to call the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America. I'm going to annex Canada and make Canada the 51st state. That's how he starts. Now, in negotiations, that is a term called anchoring. And really how anchoring works is if you have the first call in a negotiation, right, and you decide to go all the way down. Like, let's say you and I are negotiating about for the price of an item, which is valued at $100. If I talk first and I say, I'm going to give you $10. I've anchored you at $10. Now you've got to work your way up from $10 to try and get me over $100. But I've won. And the reason why I've 80% of the time won that negotiation is because I anchored you first. And so in a negotiation, specifically, if you're the strongest party, what you want to do is you want to anchor the other side. And how do you anchor the other side? You speak first and you go very extreme. And so what Trump may actually be doing with this talk of strategic reserve is he knows he's got a big job to do to get the strategic reserve done. And he's doing this in the same way that he does everything else. Like, let's talk about politics. And again, I don't really want to get into politics, but Trump is talking about taking over Gaza and make it into, what do you call it, Trump City or something, Trump Beach City, whatever else. Now, look, I'd be very surprised if he actually did that. But he's anchored the entire world into thinking that if they don't come up with a peace solution, then he's going to just take it over himself. He's anchored people over there. Same thing over here. It feels to me like he's played the ultimate negotiation or bargaining tool by anchoring Senate and Congress to say, listen, if you don't get my Bitcoin reserve passed, then what am I going to do? I'm going to go for Bitcoin, ADA, Cardano. Bro. The guys are like, listen, just give him his Bitcoin reserve, please. Because if not, we're going to be negotiating with this guy about adding Trump and Melania coin. Next thing, it'll be Trump and Melania coin being added into the strategic reserves. And that's really something that we can't afford, right? So just give him the Bitcoin reserve. I think that that is what's actually going on. And I think that that's how Trump handles every single negotiation. First, he starts off and says, we're going to declare tariffs. Tariffs on everybody, reciprocal tariffs. And then it's like, okay, at that point, when you've anchored them, but everybody's getting tariffs, now you start to negotiate your way back into more of the reality. And that is exactly what I think is actually going on here. Anyway, either way, we will be a lot smarter and we will learn a lot more this week on the 7th, when we have the first ever White House crypto summit. So what is this crypto summit? This crypto summit is the first gathering at the White House. Donald Trump's going to be there. President Donald Trump is going to be here. And they are going to be talking about a whole lot of policies around around crypto and around the executive order which Trump published. Because remember, Trump published an executive order. In the executive, it was executive order 14178. And here, he said he wants to make the United States the crypto capital of the world. And this is really the first gathering where the key industry leaders are going to be meeting at the White House to discuss how to make this how to make the USA the most crypto friendly. If you are Sharon for my tea, can you ask her just what's happening with my tea? My throat's quite killing me. So I was sick last week. Sorry, my throat's still killing me, guys. So this is the first time they're meeting at the White House. And who's going? So we try to dig up the type of people that are going. And I called my whole black book. I was like, hey, are you going to this event? Are you going to this event? Are you going to this event? This is what I'm picking up in terms of who the attendees may actually be, right? So Donald Trump is going to be there. David Sachs is going to be there. Beau Hinds is going to be there. He's head of the, what is his official title? He's like head of the crypto. Let's look at what the title is. You heard what the guy said. You're speaking Romanian, but I think you understand exactly what he said. Okay, now, chances are Brad Garlinghouse is going to be there. Then Brian Armstrong, probably going to be there. Then Michael Saylor, probably going to be there. Now, we start moving down here. I think Charles Hoskinson is definitely going to be there, which is probably not good for me. Because I've also applied to be there, right? Because I've also applied to go there. I wrote them an email saying, look, you know, we are one of the biggest streaming media channels out there and we want to come and cover the event. We won't stream the event, but we want to like be part of the media that actually covers this event. I think Andreessen Horowitz will be there. I think Paul Atkins will be there because he's part of the working group. Probably the Winklevoss twins will be there. So this is who we think will actually be there from the United States. And I think what they're going to be doing is not necessarily talking about the Bitcoin strategic reserve and the crypto strategic reserve. But I think it's going to come down to a conversation of how to bring the builders back into the United States. I think what they're going to do is they're going to be true to this, where they say to make the US the crypto capital of the world. And so I think the topics for discussion will be tax breaks for trading potentially US coins, like maybe no capital gains if you trade a made in USA coin. That could actually happen. Those are the type of things that could happen. Also, they may talk about how to fund the strategic reserve, because this guy was commenting around taxation. He said it should be kept to a minimum. And David Tech said, nobody announced a tax or spending program. Maybe you should just wait to find out what's actually being proposed, right? So maybe they're going to propose how to fund the Bitcoin strategic reserve. That is another thing that may be discussed. Either way, going into this event, and definitely going into this event, the one subset of coins that I would not fade is this is, by the way, from Kobe State. It says, the idea of America first strategic reserve would prioritize digital coins founded in the United States. I don't think that that's what's going to happen. I think they're more going to talk about how to bring these US coins on site. And so the one thing that I would strongly recommend that you don't discount and that you really, really, really keep your eyes on is the USA centric coins, the made in the USA coins. Here's a graphic of the subset of all these made in USA coins. Ondo, Link, Injective, Uniswap. Like, you can pretty much see them over here. And I'll leave this. I'll actually retweet this. You can go and look at it on my Twitter at CryptoManRan. Maybe we can just repost that. But you should keep an eye for, by the way, I like this account. This the Quinton 048 is a very bullish post. I've been following quite a bit. So I would look for these USA centric coins, because it does feel to me like they are going to give an advantage to USA centric coins. You know Trump, that's how he is. He's emotional. He's all about bringing everything back onshore, bringing manufacturing onshore. Does something happen to my tea or not? No. Okay. Well, I'll drink water in the meantime until I get tea. It's hard to get tea these days. What is that poll saying? Yes to what? Oh, you say 55% say altcoin should be in the thing. Okay, well, let's see. Maybe I'm wrong. All right. Let's talk about whether or not this pump will continue. Very important. So if you are buying this pump now, I think it's a mistake. And I said this earlier. I said this last night. You see, I think it's already started to retrace. And I'm glad that I'm glad that for those of you who do follow me on Twitter, saw that, like I did say that I do think that this pump will actually retrace. Why? Because I don't think that fundamentally anything has changed in the last couple of days. I think the Sol unlocks are still the Sol unlocks. The Bitcoin selling pressure is still the Bitcoin selling pressure. And actually, fundamentally, nothing has actually changed, right? I think that I agree with what Arthur Hayes says. He says, there's nothing new here, just words. Let me know when they get congressional approval to borrow money or to revalue the gold price higher. Without that, they have no money to buy Bitcoins or altcoins, right? So that is why I think that this pump is actually not a real pump. I think it's a pump that is fueled by Donald Trump interactions. And that's, for me, not fundamental enough to keep this pump going. The one thing, though, is that we do need to look at the possibility of what could actually come out of the summit. Now, I think that this summit will be I think a lot will happen, but I don't think a lot will change. I think there'll be a lot of headway, but I don't think a lot of things are actually going to come out of it immediately. And so I think the market's actually going to get disappointed by this pump. And that's why I say, when it comes to this pump, I think if you're up on coins that you were uncomfortable holding before, or there were positions that you were uncomfortable for holding in the short term, because as I say, I do think in the long term, everything fixes itself. But in the short term, for me, it's super important that to say, like, this pump was artificial. It happened way, 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 way too quickly for me. It pulled us out of the depths of hell, and it pulled us, okay, now you see it starting to come down again. I'm glad that I tweeted it. For those of you that follow me on Twitter, I'm glad that, I hope some of you actually got saved by this. Also told a lot of my friends last night, don't be buying this pump. It's going to retrace. It has to retrace because there's nothing substantial or nothing of value behind this. I'm assuming the ISM manufacturing index is also coming out today. Also, another thing that I just want to say to you guys. So again, the pump showed us why you should be trading fear and greed. Another thing that I do want to say to you guys is that I think what this situation showed us, this whole situation, is the importance of being in the correct community. And I haven't been speaking about front runners for a long time. I haven't been shitting at you guys for a long time. But after this weekend, I'm going to spend 1 minute just showing you why it's so important that you're part of a group like this. We have called this perfectly. We told you guys exactly when to buy. I told people to be buying a Solana at 140. I told people to be buying Sonic ETH at 235. I literally spelt this whole thing out for you. But it wasn't only about that. Okay. We had Kapoor trading the whole weekend. And the guys that followed Kapoor's trades yesterday, specifically on ETH, made a lot of money. We had Lucky calling the ADA move before the ADA move actually even happened, right? We had people tracking the insider wallets before the insider wallets were a thing yesterday. All tracking this inside front runners. We even had Joe, one of our front runners, telling people or trading the poly markets yesterday when he saw that the Bitcoin odds of a strategic reserve, he posted, bought a decent few shares of this. A couple of hours later, people made a lot of money just actually trading this. As I said, guys, I haven't been pushing you to sign up to front runners, but we're opening the waiting list again. And today I'm opening for you guys just to show you, I know times are tough and the worst thing now is to join a group because, you know, there's a cost involved in joining a group. But the amount of money that you can make by being part of a group like this will far outweigh the cost, and that I'm willing to guarantee you. Not only that, to make your lives a lot easier, I also say that if you sign up for front runners this today, in the next 20, let's say in the next 48 hours, I will also give you a free $100 Bitfunder, a $10,000 Bitfunder challenge, plus 50 people will also receive a $250 Bitfunder challenge. That is for people who sign up within the next 48 hours. Guys, I promise you, I had to show you how many good calls happened this week just for those who were in front runners. If you want to sign up, literally just go to the bottom of the show over here. Just go to the bottom of the show. There is a link. Let me quickly show you exactly which one it is. Over here. Okay. So you just go over here. Front runners, sign up and you can get that access. That's going to be open for the next 48 hours. Everyone that signs up gets a free Bitfunded $100 challenge, which is a $10,000 account, and 50 people will get a $25,000 account. You got to sign up in the next 48 hours. Anyway, let's go back to it. So as I said, I'm not sure that this pump will continue. And I think it's starting to play out now. You can see that I think it's starting to reverse now, which is exactly what I thought would happen because it's not a fundamental pump. A lot has to be around what happens on Friday. And I think that Friday will be very, very, very important, but the outcome won't be an amazing outcome, which will happen immediately. Also, something else which may actually drive the markets. Now, has this come out yet? Has the ISM manufacturing numbers come out yet? No. So any minute now, in fact, it'll happen like right now. We're actually watching this live, but we're getting a reading, which is the ISM reading. Now, for those of you who don't know what the ISM reading is, the ISM reading, I Googled for you guys, ISM PMI data is considered to be a leading indicator of economic trends because not only does the ISM manufacturing index report on the prior 2 months, but also it outlines the long-term trends that have been building over time. Now, this effectively means the manufacturing, it gives a gauge for the level of the economic activity. Now, the reason why this is so important, by the way, has this come out now? Above 50 or below 50? Oh. Above 50. Amazing. So this is a very, 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 very good sign. We just had an ISM reading above 50. Come on, man. Okay, so just give me another one. Ad free plan. Thanks very much for playing. What was the reading? Sorry, and please give me another reading that's not part of investing.com. Okay, forget about the T for now. Forget about the T. Let's worry about that. Okay, so the ISM has come out. Now, Why is this so important? Because this is the manufacturing leading indicator for manufacturing sentiment. The reason why this is so important is because people say that it almost follows like an alt season. If the ISM is bullish, people are bullish about the economy, and it almost serves almost like an alt season, right? And you can see that's happened every other time, right? And so now it just come out again. Can you send me a link? Do you have a link for me so we can see the ISM manufacturing data? You can see that every time that the ISM tops, so does the alt season. And every time that it bottoms, so does the alt season. This is quite a reliable indicator. And it's just come out again while we have been live. And maybe with a bit of luck, the researchers will send us something. It's got an ad blocker, and I've got an ad blocker on my account. Send it to me. I'm looking for the results. Let's just look at the ISM results. Okay, good. Thank you, sir. Okay, so 50.3. Now, it's a bit lower than expected. It's a bit lower than expected, but it's above 50. And with the ISMs, above 50 usually means bullish, and below 50 usually means bearish. And so here we are again, above 50 on the ISM, which is another indicator that shows us that this market may actually recover. So I want to show you some of the indicators that are showing me that the market actually it looks like a recovery. First of all, it's this ISM data, which is very good. Keep sending me stuff around the ISM if there is any. Also, we'll look in the bubbles. You see the bubbles have got like a news ticker underneath now. Someone says not that good, 50.3 versus expected 50.6. I agree, but still above 50. And what you'll realize with the ISM, let's just see how to read ISM data. Okay, a reading above 50 indicates that an expansion of the U.S. manufacturing economy, while reading below 50 indicates a contraction. So people are now forecasting expansion much more than they're forecasting a contraction. Now, you may ask, why is the market going down on this news right now? Because if people are forecasting an expansion, then why would Trump actually reduce interest rates? But long term, this actually is a good thing. I do want to show you one or two other indicators that actually do make me bullish. So one is that. The other one is that this QE, that's not QE, which is this Treasury General Account, is actually right now being emptied. You can see that already $305 billion has started to come into the economy. And on top of that, China is actually very, very, very much on the rise. Very, very, very much on the rise. We're not talking about it a lot, but like if you look at the Chinese stock market and you look at the tech stocks and you look at the sentiment in China, things are actually working very, 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 very hard at the moment. Then you've got the M2 money supply versus the Bitcoin chart. Now, one thing we know is that when you have that the Bitcoin price follows the M2 money supply. And when the M2 money supply has been contracting, which is exactly what happened here, Bitcoin started to go down. But now what you have is you have the M2 money supply actually expanding, and Bitcoin usually follows that. So you take that, you compare it with this ISM manufacturing data, you're saying, look, and you take the fear and greed actually being a 10, and then you're like, okay, look, this actually is maybe possibly time for a bounce. Anyway, what are we going to do? We are going to wait until Friday. We're not buying this pump, as I said to you. We don't believe it. Again, for those of you who don't follow me on Twitter, because sometimes, you know, I can't do things on a show because show times are only at a certain time, but there is stuff that I can actually put on Twitter. Like, I don't think that this pump will last, as I was saying. Remember, I will see you guys again tomorrow. Before you do, just a reminder, 24 to 48 hours, if you sign up to Front Runners, number one, I think it'll be the best decision that you ever make, specifically in a market like this, because it's one of the ways that you'll claw back your losses. Number two, you will get guaranteed, you're getting a $10,000 Bitfunded account, and 50 people will get a $249, which is a $25,000 Bitfunded account. I shall see you guys again tomorrow. Until then, trade well, my friends.